Danny Elfman is one of the top young composers in Hollywood. He wrote the scores for Batman, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Big Top Pee-wee, Beetlejuice, and Scrooged. He's scoring the upcoming film, Dick Tracy. Elfman has a parallel rock career as the leader of the band Oingo Boingo. Last week at the Grammys, Elfman won a Composer's Award for the Batman theme. This is an excerpt of an interview I recorded with him just before Batman came out. Here's the music he won the Grammy for. Before writing the theme, did you have to sit down with the director, Tim Burton, and decide, you know, what kind of tone the theme should have?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What did you talk about? What did you decide on?
We basically, when we sit down and it's what you call spotting a movie, you talk about the entire movie as a whole, and you talk about different variations that you're going to want the theme to take. We needed something that was very simple, so it could state itself in very few notes and still become Batman's identity, and that could play both in a more gothic, romantic sense or in a more kind of an up-tempo march.
Yeah, when did you start becoming aware of good film music?
When I was about 12, 13, and I was growing up on all those wonderful science fictions in the 60s, many of them which had Bernard Herrmann scores, although I didn't know it, who it was really until later. I knew that it had a big effect on me. Journey to the Center of the Earth, Jason and the Argonauts, The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is still one of my favorite scores. That's where I really started becoming aware of film music. And then as a teenager, I got heavily into other composers, and especially Fellini films with Nina Rota's music.
Has writing film music given you the opportunity to express certain musical interests of yours that wouldn't be of interest at all to a rock audience? I'm thinking a lot of people have certain...
I don't think it would be of any interest to a rock audience.
Yeah, well, I think some people even have musical tastes that they'd be almost embarrassed to admit to a rock audience because it would be considered square or something.
Well, everything I write for orchestra is square by rock and roll standards. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. I love the challenge, and I love working in film, and I also love doing rock and playing with the band, so... what a rock and roll audience may or may not think of my work for film, I really could care less if it works for the film. And vice versa, I don't care what people who are into my music or into film music in general think of what I do when I'm with Oingo Boingo.
Do you hear any connection at all between your rock work with Oingo Boingo and your film scores?
No. Mm-hmm. No. In fact, I think that's probably why I've gotten successful as a film composer coming from rock and roll. I think that's the mistake most rock and rollers make when they get a chance to score films, is they don't leave what they've done behind them and approach it completely fresh as a completely new medium. And I fortunately elected on my first film there to let it all go and go back to my early roots as a child before I even ever heard rock and roll.
Which was what?
When I used to listen to films, the types of films that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was, if there's anything in retrospect that I did right, it was approaching my first film orchestrally with no rock and roll attitude towards it at all.
Danny Elfman is my guest. This is music that he wrote for the film Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Thank you.
The first film that you scored was also the first film you worked on with Tim Burton, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I think you'd worked on a small film before that, but really you had like no orchestral experience, either composing or arranging. How did you get the job?
I haven't a clue. You'd have to ask Tim. He took an enormous gamble, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm lucky that he did.
Now, I read about you that you didn't read music, at least when you were in your teens and starting in rock bands, you didn't read music. Did you read music by the time you worked on Pee-wee? Yeah.
No, I didn't. Doing rock and roll for a decade, or a little over a decade, there really never is any reason to read music. There is so very little written music in that musical form.
So how did you write a score for a major motion picture without reading music?
I taught myself to write, basically. And you don't have to read to be able to write. I rely on memory and retaining pieces of music, even if it's a long piece of music, very clearly in my mind until I have the last note of it down on paper. So I get pretty obsessive and intense, especially if I'm working on a 7 or 8 minute cue, because it means keeping a lot of music going in my head at the same time.
Your film for Beetlejuice, especially like in the opening, it really mixes horror and comedy really well.
Well, that's what we were going for.
Right, exactly. And you use terrific orchestrations in it. It's like in the opening, there's a French horn, strings, and tambourine. The tambourine really works in there.
Oh, good. We were afraid that it got out of control.
But, did you really? Oh.
I'm glad you think so.
Did you seriously think it got out of control?
At the time, percussion sometimes in a very live room is hard to control, and whatever level you get it on tape, you can never make it softer again. That's where it's very unlike rock and roll, where you have complete control over everything. In an orchestral piece, you can't change things very much from how they're laid down on tape. You can pull out a woodwind line a little here and there, or a French horn line if you're looking for it, but most of the sound is in the room and is in all the mics, so you have to get it pretty close to the way you want it.
I have all these records of like the great film composers conducting their own scores. Could you ever conduct? Do you?
No, I have no desire to conduct at all. First of all, I don't think I'd make a good conductor. But more importantly, film music is played in the theaters through speakers. And even though the music in the room where the orchestra is playing sounds much more lush and wonderful, especially the strings, it's not the way it's going to sound later, and I want to sit in the booth and hear how it sounds through the speakers, because the balances really do change, and you'll hear things through the speakers that you won't hear sitting in the room. And also, I want to sit very closely with the director, and most importantly, I want to see exactly how my music is playing against screen, because I'm really a stickler for timings, and I like to see that it's falling exactly where I intended it to.
What new challenges did writing the score for the Batman movie have for you?
Well, it was my first action-adventure epic type of a score, so it was real difficult in that sense. It was also a lot of music, 75 minutes of score. Beetlejuice only had maybe 48 minutes, which is about average for a film. And also, I was dealing with it in a much more simple way than I would most movies. I tried to take an approach that was almost more going towards Max Steiner's type of approach to movies in the 40s, of dealing with many variations on a single simple theme.
Musician and composer Danny Elfman. Here's more of his music from Batman.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air.